Welcome to the Merchant Princelings Podcast.
Welcome to episode 58 of the Merchant Princelings Podcast. 58th of her name, long may she reign. I had to do that today because there's no Will to just leap in there and do it for me, you see.
Loser
is currently, well, I was about to say he might be on a plane, but actually I think he's probably in a van somewhere. My name is Tom Sargent. I'll be your host this evening, and unfortunately both of my co-hosts are currently traveling back from Malmo in the middle of storm something beginning with B. I forget the name of it.
Barry.
Storm Barry?
No, it's not Barry. No,
it's Babbitt, something like that, something really weird. So I think the event has just finished. I think Jars is probably on his way to an airport. Will is probably in a service station getting some snacks. So I am joined by the attrition duo of Neil and Reese. Say hello, boys.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Finally getting three busy parent lives together to record.
No worries, mate.
It's really hard, actually, because like with Will, like his work is so busy, and then with Giles, like just getting a dog and like work is so hard, but then you get three parents and it's like, oh, I am free, just everyone's noisy.
Yeah.
How you guys been? Had a good day?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Bit wet and windy.
Any hobby this weekend from either of you?
I glued some sand onto my bolt action bases. That's about as far as
bolt action, that's enough of that. Reese.
Yeah, did I send you some pictures? I've been doing tinkering away at some demons.
The demons PDF sponsored by the attrition boys.
Yeah.
Literally.
We love him, mate. We're absolutely solid for demons.
Good. Yeah. Well, we can go into that in a little bit more. The reason I've got you boys on specifically, even though I enjoy the sound of your voice, and I'm sure everyone else does as well, and I'm sure that of our roughly 1,000 listeners an episode, which is pretty wild.
That's good.
I would imagine that most of them are familiar with your events. Do you want to just give us a quick rundown of attrition in general?
No. Here's his bus, mate. Let me push you in front of it.
Yeah. Straight under, mate. You duck that one.
Okay. So we run Heresy events in the south coast of England for the moment. We've been doing it for a few years now, maybe, I think. Pre-pandemic as well. So
yeah.
We normally take a narrative slant as opposed to a competitive slant. I think they're pretty well subscribed. People seem to turn up, so we keep doing them, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
We've got, they're all sold out, all the ones we've got left booked in, right up to our controversially named Boyfriends 2 in March. and then we lose the venue. So we do have something in the pipeline to work with Andy from Greens and Warp to do an event with him. Amazing. And that crew, next.
That's generated some hype, isn't it?
It has, yeah. I sent Andy the little teaser image. And he was like, I really want to post it straight away, but we hadn't actually had a chat about logistics yet.
That's the unfortunate thing with Andy, with the Greetings for the Warp, is that he does so many events for so many systems in so many places, you know, corresponds with so many people, partners with so many people. I cannot imagine how organized he must be, like how he's as organized as he is. He must have a big serial killer board in his house with all the little wires attached, like
strings. The old red
Henry
string,
doing Cult of Paint here, and some Mook is doing Titanicus here, and some Mook's doing Mordheim, and we've got the losers from Merchant Princelings doing this.
So the mother of all spreadsheets.
So attrition events are really good. We've covered a plethora of them on this event podcast over the years. We all went to Boyfriends last time. Was it Boyfriends?
Mm-hmm. That was the last time we hosted the trio,
which was really good. Really enjoyed that event. And as you said, caused controversy because of the name. And then I was expertly dispelled it, and then didn't even get a chance to play the person who caused the controversy. Pain in the ass, but there we go.
That person has not bought a ticket for the next one.
No, I can imagine they haven't, no. So the reason I've brought you guys on is to talk a little bit about my event, which was last week before.
Last weekend.
Christ, yeah. Last weekend, which was part two of Storm Song, you guys both attended, and we intended to get you guys on to talk about it, but with Giles and Will being gone and being European boyfriends at the moment, it seemed prudent that you just nick their co-host space. So thanks for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for inviting me.
You're more than welcome. We're going to talk a little bit more about Demons in general, because you guys are both a bit hyped for them. A little bit about Empress Children. But before we start, I'm just going to move, just going to plug our next couple of events. You guys are all sold out because you guys are event megastars. But I don't know whether Tooth and Claw is sold out. And my event, Scouring Barbarous, has yet to go up properly, so we can plug that a little bit. But as we've mentioned, Andy from Greetings from the Warp, and everyone partners with him to do amazing events. We are the same. We have partnered with him for a December event of Tooth and Claw, which I'd imagine that most people are pretty familiar with now. It's looking good. It's looking really busy. Don't know how we're going to fit all you nerds in two halls. But that's Andy's problem. It's just for me to shout at you all. And as Neil and Reese can attest from my event last weekend, I'll just shout at you. I don't care. And I also don't care if you're still having lunch. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. Nope. So that's Tooth and Claw. I think we are, if not already sold out, then pretty close to sold out. So if you are still thinking of coming, if you have a boyfriend that you want to attend an event with, this would be a good opportunity. If you can't get to Tooth and Claw, or if you already are coming to Tooth and Claw and you fancy some more doubles action, then the Merchant Princelings will be running the Scouring of Barbarous. So this is an event that I've put together. Will and Jars will be helping me run it, and are probably going to be my ringers for it. But the intention is to run a weekend event down on the southeast coast in a village called East Dean, which is quite near Eastbourne, in a lovely little village hall. Four games, and they are pretty much the campaign that was released in White Dwarf last year. Did either of you guys ever still buy White Dwarf? Like, ever since?
I think I bought a White Dwarf once. I don't remember.
Once?
I remember you guys talked about it on the pod, actually, but I've not read the campaign itself.
I think it feels like I'm the only person in Heresy who keeps up to date with White Dwarf. I don't buy every one, but I buy one if I know it's got like a Heresy
trend in there. Yeah.
And this one had, it was like the launch of the plastic Land Raider and plastic Sakaran and stuff. So I bought them, and the campaign was pretty cool. It's Scouring of Barbarous. So the idea is it's Lionel Johnson, Lehman Russ, and the Raven Guard, plus, you know, miscellaneous loyalist boyfriends, scouring traitor homeworlds. So they've already done Chemos, Davin and Chthonia are either already done or taken care of at various points throughout the story, and now attention's turned to Barbarous, the Death Guard homeworld. So White Dwarf ran like a 3 or 4 issue battle report / mini campaign, which was aimed at doubles. So you can only find the official Games Workshop doubles rules if you have these White Dwarfs. They are all available on Warhammer Plus on the Vault thing, which is where I've had to go back and find them. But yeah, there are interesting rules in there, which are different to how sort of the meta seems to play them normally. Different to how you guys did it and how we're going to do it in Tooth and Claw, because that's the obvious answer.
What do they do?
So you only have one Warlord.
Okay, makes sense.
So you both have to pick a Warlord to legitimately run your rights of war and things like that, but only one has a Warlord trait.
So, and does that mean only one's available for VPs, or
no? So both are available for VPs,
right?
But only one has a Warlord trait.
Right. Okay.
In terms of allies chart, if you're allied to your teammate, you have to sort of react the same way as an allied chart. So if you're distrusted allies, things can happen. But even if you're like sworn best friend boyfriends, you can't join squads together.
Yeah.
So Will's
army, still can't use transports and that sort of thing.
Still can't do transports, still can't do Will's army of like Iron Hands boyfriends in mechanic and fucking
Will's monsters. Murder, death,
and then I think probably the biggest change is the reactions. So you each get one reaction per phase.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you get an additional one from the one person who has a Warlord trait, you don't both get it, obviously, because there's only one Warlord trait in the team.
Yeah.
You can't both advanced reaction in the same phase. And if you are the same legion, you can't both use your advanced reaction in the same game turn. So there are a few little differences, some of which are bananas. So like the Lords of War limit they want you to take per your army. So Scouring of Barbarous is 3,500, therefore your army's 1,750. So you would have to take your Lord of War as 25% 1,750.
Yeah.
So fuck that, we've been that off.
Yeah, not taking much for that, are you?
No, well, not anything fun, you know. So bin that off. And then yet carrying through the restrictions as white dwarf random. So the only characters that are appearing are the Primarchs, Lionel Johnson and Leman Russ. Everyone else is staying at home. Custodes are staying at home. If they do name a few in the lore characters like Captain Stenius and stuff like that who have been in the books. So
yeah.
I'm sort of hoping that they might have rules at some point. In which case, if they do, you're more than welcome to bring them.
Would you let someone, if someone converts one up, would you give them like a weekend slate for that person with a couple of rules to?
I think this is a problem that is occurring in Malmo at the moment. I don't know if you guys are plugged into the Malmo news sphere.
Not really.
No, I'm not.
I've seen some pictures.
So Malmo are running that third party Panoptica thing.
Okay.
Which is like a huge, massive page and page FAQ, and page legacy unit thing, and it's caused, and everyone's known that up front, right? It was a knowledge of made available to you when you bought the ticket.
Yeah.
But as is the way of these things, some people have leaned into it a bit harder than others. Some have made their entire armies buffed units or buff legions or whatever. Some people haven't used it at all, so it has left a little bit of imbalance.
Sour taste, yeah.
It's tricky, that, isn't it? It's the same with like the Mordival rules when they came out. If you if someone doesn't know about them, it's a bit of a shock to the system when you turn up and there's all these weird and wonderful units and different rules that don't work how you expect. And Mordival even if you
always a good idea, but no one ever really embraced it in the UK, I don't think. No one really.
We ran one event with them.
But how many? So how many people ran Mournival units? Half.
I'd say not even that. Say maybe one third. We had someone with heavy destroyers and.
So I think Jack's got some heavy destroyers, right? Eldridge.
Yeah, they're popular lately.
And I had some Solar Orcs guys, and I used the Life Ward at a couple of events, just to use the model, but it was a shit rule.
It's more the list restriction we used, really. So you have to take, you can't take this, can't take that. You have to have a certain amount of infantry and this sort of thing.
And the psychic phase was completely different, right?
I'd be honest, I didn't even look at it. I don't remember anyone even using the psychic powers.
Yes, I think it's entirely a different phase.
It was in 1.0, yeah.
Yeah, so when they released like the whole book, I think they had an entirely different psychic phase. But the psychic phase was dumb in first edition anyway. Not that it's much better in 2.0 from some people's view, but there it is. So anyway, Stenius, right? So if I made rules for Stenius, Neil, I'm getting a little bit of a feedback. I can hear myself a little bit.
Move back from my laptop.
Good luck. So if I made Stenius rules for Stenius, if I make him crap, no one's going to take him. Unless one person who's playing Dark Angels really wants the lore of Captain Stenius. And if I make him good, people will just moan on the day. So we'll see. It's a balance.
Welcome to running events.
True. Right? I really want people to embrace Death Guard because we're invading the Death Guard homeworld. So I'm every Death Guard player I know, I'm trying to get them to come. And I'm trying to make them all take a variety of units. Like, it's weird if there's 6 Death Guard players and all of them are using 7 Death Shroud or something. Like, that's a bit fucking loco. especially as they're all dead in the lore. Grave Wardens would all be with Typhon. There probably wouldn't be any left on Thingy. So, like, I'm not going to restrict it, but it is. I'm trying to not let people just go down the same route. So I'm trying to incentivize people taking the poisoners because there could be as many of them as you like. So trying to buff them a little bit but not make them overpowered.
I haven't seen any of those in the flesh on the tabletop yet. I haven't seen anyone use those poisoners.
No, I think Jack's got some converted up, classic, but I don't think they're painted, classic.
Standard.
He's got months, so you can do it. Yeah. I believe
I've already told him he's got to get on with it. He seems really keen for it. He's going to be doubling up with Pete King for the event.
Yeah, nice. Double DG.
And then my friend Lloyd is going to team up with Mr. Bernie, and they're going to do double DG as well.
Yeah, awesome. Nice.
Double Ds. So that's going to be hot. So if you are looking for doubles boyfriend action down on the southeast, it is the 1st and 2nd of June down in East Dean. I would advise you probably stay in Eastbourne unless you can drive to and, you know, to and from each day. Food will be, like, some food will be provided. There's tea and coffee there, and there is a pub attached to the village hall pretty much behind it. So we'll be in there most likely. And Saturday night, I'm sure we'll spend the whole night in there. So if you are interested in a ticket, hit up the Merchant Princelings on Instagram, or find me on Discord or Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and I'll help you find a ticket. I think we're half sold out.
Hey, you need any more incentive? Both Reese and I are going as well.
Yep, both of you are
going. So someone you can go and kick in for a day. That's great.
And both of you are taking, or are we saving it? Are we saving
it? Oh, you can tell them if you want, I don't mind.
Oh. Well, Reese, why don't you tell us what you're taking? Because you're most excited.
I'm going to take some of the new Empress children.
Oh, corrupted boys.
Corrupted.
Yeah, maybe with a... I'll see. I need to have a proper read of it, but maybe see if I can wangle some demons in there as well, just for a bit of...
Yeah, that's going to be so hot.
Side order.
I mean, if you bring like Flamers of Tzeentch to Barbarous with your Empress children, I will stab you though. That's just I'm making that now. It's looking quite good. Some of the people who have a lot of people have like reserved tickets because they're busy in Malmo, or you know, it's time of the month and all the rest of it. So the people who have paid, it's a good list. It's, quite a variety of people. Some people I've never played a game against before. Obviously I won't be playing them, but I'll be running it, but I might set Giles and Will on them just to give them the experience.
Oh, who would have to upset you to set Will on them?
Yeah, I know.
Or are you gonna rein Will's list in?
No. Well, the thing is, Will was probably gonna have to take Raven Guard. Because Giles will take Dark Angels, because that's like fluffy. And then he can't take Iron Hands. He needs to take Raven Guard. And then when Will takes Raven Guard, it'll be more funny to watch Will rage out when everyone wounds his marines on fours rather than fives, and it like causes like a short circuit in his brain.
Can't wait for the hat to go on backwards.
Yeah. As soon as the hat goes on backwards, it's game over.
Just
go to the pub. You guys both came to Stormsong Day 2, which was last week.
Which was a blast, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned, but I had a wicked day, honestly.
Good. Yeah, it was awesome, yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously I can't... I'll introduce it a little bit, but it's kind of down for you guys to tell us your experiences. And you don't have to go through both games. Maybe just go through the best bits or the best game or whatever you found. But yeah, if you want to give me a little rundown on how you found the day, and you can criticise, I don't mind. I'll cry quietly. Laura's here, so she can emotionally support me afterwards. It's absolutely fine.
A little shoulder, yeah.
Yeah.
I've only got one criticism, and it was nothing to do with your event.
Oh, go on.
I thought the food at the pub was pretty trash.
Did you?
I did, yeah. That fish and chips I had. I had fish and chips.
Fish and chips, yeah.
Yeah. And, it didn't taste or anything. It was really bad.
Well, that's because you clearly had COVID. well, I tell you what,
not Harry, Tom.
I have been there many times. You know, I've been there with Laura. I've been there with my family. It's always great, but I always get the pork belly. It's always good. But me and Reese all agree, right? Reese and I were the only people who got roasts, and that roast was the fucking child portion. I swear to God,
it was absolutely shot. Like when she brought it out, I thought, like, can you just take a look at me? Do you know what I mean? Can you just look me up and down and tell me that that's going to be enough food?
Yeah. Literally, yeah. I mean, it wasn't great. And then obviously Rob Medwell left, and he was going to find fish and chips and then just eat on the seafront to like just get some peace and like enjoy the seafront and stuff. But he actually ended up finding a little Greek place and went and ate by himself, and then like showed me the food he had afterwards, and I was like, We should have all gone to this Greek place because it's
yeah, it looked good. Yeah,
he had a platter, didn't he? It was
yeah, it was amazing.
And the ice cream looked good.
And ice cream, yeah, definitely the ice cream.
Rob is like, Rob will seek out good food. You know, Rob is like, he works out because he enjoys his food, and I respect that.
Yeah. Well, so, we'll set him off like a sniffer dog next time. Just everyone follow Rob.
Yeah, because I'll just go to Greg's otherwise. So day two of Storm Song carried on from day one, which was last year, with the board being set for Bellicor having made his play, made a gambit to take over quite a sizable military force from both the Loyalists and both the Traitors after setting them on each other over the Ifrit system, which is the world we were playing on. But kind of the world is already destroyed, evacuated and useless by this point. And it's basically just a war either against the other side, but also against Bellicor. So the way that we played the event was every game played was either one person who was a loyalist or a traitor, and one person was under the influence of Bellicor. And Bellicor had already taken half of these Legion forces from day one, which was part of our fluff. When that initial fleet that was part of the story from day one arrived but was never seen, never was engaged in action with the Planetary Defence Force or anything, was because Bellicor had captured it in this warp storm, slowly corrupted them and unleashed them upon the world in day two. So normally at events you kind of choose beforehand, you're loyalist or you're traitor. Every other event I've run and every other event I've been to near enough, you're either loyalist or you're traitor, and that's always good. It's a binary system to set up matches. It's a good thing. But in this case, it was fun to just throw the loyalist and traitor out the window, let anyone play whoever they wanted to play. You just had to choose. One of you was a staunch loyalist or traitor from normal Horus Heresy, and one of you was a Bellicor boy. We made the demon players, which was Neil as the main demon
represent
player.
Bellicor for the win.
There were two players who had Galvor back, and we made the Galvor. But if they were using demons, we said they're probably going to be the first to fall under Bellicor's sway, so we made them Bellicor. They had to be Bellicor boys going forward as well.
Who else had the Galvor back then? Was it Carl, I assume?
Carl Helicar had Galvor back, and then his mate Danny.
Oh yeah,
Alpha Legion, and used them as coils of the Hydra, I believe.
Naughty, yeah. Okay.
And interestingly, there were 14 players, 16 players, something like that, and like 5 or 6 of them were Alpha Legion.
Yeah, I said that to Reese. I said there's loads of Alpha Legion.
Crazy levels.
So they can't make up their mind up like squared. No.
Yeah, basically, yeah. What the fuck are you guys all doing here? Why are some of you Bellicor boys? I bet you're not really. So that was the premise of the day. For anyone who's been to my events before, Scarron of Barbaros will be the same. Tooth and Claw will kind of be the same under the limitations of sort of greetings for the warp. I super don't care who wins and loses. I just care that you've had a good game. I care that you're surrounded by an environment which tries to give you a good game, and that you walk away having had a series of good games, good food, a good banter, good atmosphere. I really don't care whether you win or lose. And I try and incentivize to everyone to remember that this is a two-player game, not a competitive sport. The idea is not to win in as quick a time as possible or by a highest margin. It's just to enjoy the fucking game.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. So, guys, take it away. Tell us how you enjoyed the day. What did you bring? Who did you play? However you want to go through it.
All right. Do you want me to lead now?
You go.
Go on then.
Go on, Reese.
Go on then. So, I brought my fists as per my usual attempt at trying to prove that there's no such thing as a broken Legion, just broken players. And it was a terrible list. Fortunately for me, my first game was against Ollie Mew.
Powerful Ollie Mew, yeah.
Yeah, and he had what I can only describe as a tame, by his usual standards, World Eaters list.
Yes, yeah, yeah. He was very sure that this was a shit list.
Yeah, and well, yeah, it was a very close game, to be honest. He clinched it in the last turn, but
literally one of those games where towards the end of my, what would it have been? Because it was five turns, was it, the first game? You had random turn lengths, didn't you? Yeah. So I think towards the end of my turn four, it was starting to go pear-shaped. Mm. And then just in his turn four and then his turn five, he managed to flip the table. I had a couple of bad rolls with like leadership and stuff, and it really, that's kind of what threw it for me. So, but that was, it was a very good game, very close. Like I say, so two shall we say, disabled lists.
What turn did you immobilize your Kratos?
Turn one.
Classic.
Every time.
Such a good tank.
Yeah, he had an absolute meltdown about me starting that on that little mound as well. I was like, God. but it's just a ridge line. Like,
he's on it about that sort of thing.
I don't know
if you've seen this, as like, if it's done the rounds of the internet yet, but Will deployed a Contemptor Dreadnought.
Mm.
On the fifth or fourth floor of like Games Workshop ruins.
Yeah, amazing.
At Melmar.
Yeah.
But because of the weight of the model, he had to deploy it backwards. So it's like facing his own board edge. And then it sort of went around the group chats, and Ollie was like, this is fucking unacceptable. Absolutely mental.
Yeah, that's.
So mission one, I don't expect you guys to remember this at all, I just happened to have them handy on my phone, was the Dark Master Comes, which was a mission based on an old 40k mission. I think it was from Crusade of Fire or one of those sort of supplements, where you essentially had Dawn of War deployment as an objective in the middle of the game. Sorry, the middle of the board. And then every turn you make a new objective, they just scatter out.
Can I just say, I really enjoyed that game as a mission.
I did as well.
They can only scatter so far, can't they? So it makes it absolute carnage in the middle of the board, and it was brilliant.
I think it was Colin's game where they had two results in a row where it was like 4 inches to the left. And he was like, what happens now? It's like, that objective's worth twice as much because they've just landed on top of each other. And he was like, fuck! And just like... That was the whole point of the game, was suddenly just bananas to that objective, you know? Everyone seemed to sort of enjoy that little mechanic, I guess.
Yeah, it's good. There's some gold in those old 40k missions. If you adapt them, some of them are really, really good.
Yeah, well, one of the benefits of being in my local club is that there's quite an active community of 40k, old sort of 40k, AOS, and all the rest of it. So I sort of get to see mission mechanics from loads of different games. So whenever I come to write a mission, I'm just like, well, I'm not doing any of the Heresy missions because they're all boring. All of them are boring.
Yeah.
So we'll do like one of the fun new ones or whatever, or an old one. Like there was an event a couple of weeks ago where someone ran the Relic. I think it was one of the Heresy Hammer.
Amazing, yeah.
They just ran the Relic, right? Fucking great. Everyone loves the Relic, right? Fucking great. and then try to add in... So I add in those secondary objectives where, like, if you're a Bellicor boy, you can do a buff. If you're a normal boy, you can do a buff and kill psychers and all the rest of it. Those little things, which most people forget because there's a lot to remember, but they're there for the people who want to play with it.
And stuff.
So I'm glad the mission was good. You enjoyed it, or, you know, at least engage with it. How was
it? It forced you to do something, didn't it? You can't just sit there on the objective at the back. You've got to go and engage.
Yeah, and everything could score in that first mission.
That was the other good thing. Yeah, I like that. That was a nice mechanic.
So you could
just
score
bonus,
1 point for anything, and then three points if it was line. I think it was three.
Yeah, three, yeah.
So that's the problem, because when you've got fucking morons like Matt Woodley turning up, and they just bring tanks.
And then they can't score.
And you're like, score this mission. I'm like, Matt, I didn't make you bring an all-tank list. When I bought an all-tank list to, you know, I had the Iron Hands, I made sure I had two tactical squads that could at least sit on a home objective and score. So I had to think of Matt doing something or other. regardless. So you played Ollie, yet there was a lot of noises coming from that game, so I assume that it was a good game. Ollie seemed to have fun playing the World Eaters, even if he didn't have Khan.
We had a great game. We go back a long time, to be honest, me and Ollie. But
he loves seeking you out at events.
Oh, mate, honestly, as soon as my name goes down, because obviously me and Neil don't go to too many because we generally run so many ourselves.
And that's your weekend passes with the other half.
On the rare occasion we do, the second he sees my name, I get some DM like, I'll see you on the table or something like that.
Well, he messaged me straight away and he was like, is Reese coming to your event? I was like, you know he is. If you paid attention to the group chat, you'd know he is. And he's like, I'm fucking having him. I'm having him.
Oh, he's terrible. He just likes a nice, easy game to start his weekend off, I think.
That could be it. He used to love ending his weekends playing Will. That tradition has slowly sort of faded out now. But
Will's slowly up the pipe, though, isn't he? So. I'm not having it.
Well, there's... I won't spoil the Malmo episode, but there was only one player at Malmo who went 5 of 5, and it wasn't Will.
Ooh.
So Chris Gibson put in one of the chats. He just said, "Now England heresy is over for the next."
He has a strop and brings absolute. Yeah,
because it's like when England football lose, and all of the hooliganism and vandalism rates go up.
Yeah.
Will's lost two, you know, so many games or whatever, bosh, straight in.
Will's player, you know, opponent enjoyment is going to drop down to about 5%.
but it's in the rules.
yeah, but it's okay.
Yes, that's fine. Neil, what was your first game? I forget who you played.
My first game was against Ben from Harrison Hill.
Uncle Albert.
Himself. What a nice bloke to play a game against. I really, really enjoyed that.
All three of the Heresy on the Hill lads. It does feel like they've appeared from nowhere in the Heresy community over the last year or two or however long, right?
Yeah. But
all three of them are quality. And it was a shame that Avery was in Japan getting engaged. Congratulations, Tom. Even Silas turned up and he was like, I've cancelled the event, I can't come, and then he turned up anyway, just to try and support. But yeah, Ben is a great bloke, and I've heard a lot of people say he's a good opponent.
He is, yeah, I had a really great time, and even when it was clear we were pushed into lunch, I said to him, do you want to stop now? And he goes, no, mate, let's carry on. Okay, great.
From 15 minutes in until 15 minutes after I said dice down, you guys were still like, there's only one point in it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who I said it to. I was like, is it the same point? Or has it been back and forth? Like,
back and forth. It was really, really close. Yeah, it was a great game. He had Iron Warriors.
Oh, classic, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully his Iron Warriors will be out the door for some Empress Children soon. But we'll see.
That's the rumor I heard. Yeah,
yeah. We'll see.
Well, he struggled a little bit against my army because obviously I had the demons.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
First run with the demons rules. I have frantically painted them towards the end of last week, so
you
I could bring them to
a heroic him. Effort to bring them. To be fair,
it was hard work. I lost a lot of sleep, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
But because I had demons, his legion trait was useless.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely no vehicles.
Yeah, nothing at all. So it was just like playing vanilla Marines in the end. But yeah, it was good. It was really, really close. He had a nice army, lots of las cannons, which did some damage to brutes and so on. Kabanda, I think he was really scared of Kabanda.
As well he should be.
Yeah, there was a lot of emphasis, and I kept getting it all not die rolls and things back for him, so that was handy. But yeah, the MVP for that game probably was the Demon Sovereign, who was an absolute menace.
So so obviously the Demon Rules came out last week.
Yeah.
Giles and Will and I decided we would do a deep dive into to demons once they're back from Malmo and we've had time to go through it and all the rest of it. That'll probably never happen because there's so many events coming up towards the end of the year.
We're on the YouTube channel if you want to have a look.
There you go, straight on there. this was an event you ran with the new rules, and I think it was like, what, 3 or 4 days later?
Yeah, the rules dropped on Tuesday, didn't they? We're playing on Sunday. So
what was your list, briefly? No one's going to have a fucking clue what you're talking about, but read what was your list.
It was a little bit of a mix, I'll be honest, because I had to just take what I had available and what I could paint in time. So sure. I used as many different units as possible to get the all-important battlefield data.
Yep.
So I've got Demon Sovereign as the HQ and the Warlord, which is a big beastie, and you can, this ridiculously cheap 10-point upgrade that gives them Brutal 3 and, you know, just instant Murderous Strike and all this other stuff on there. It's ridiculously good. That's a big monstrous creature. There's a couple of squads of lessers who are trash, but yeah, unnecessary, because they're the only compulsory troops you can take.
They do seem to be proper trash as well.
Yeah, yeah, they're bad. They're
are
bad,
they line?
They're line, yeah, and they're cheap. Well, cheapish, you know. Yeah, it's like 120 points for 10 or whatever it was. And you just have to sit them on objectives. They can't really do anything else, which is a shame. And with a 5-up, 5-up, they're pretty easy to remove.
Yeah.
So yeah, I took those. I didn't have any swarms available, so I didn't take those. Those are the only other line unit in the list, and they are support squads, so you have to take lessers. You've got no choice. Oof. Really. And I took a big squad of brutes. I took a few beasts and a few flying beasts, and then just a couple of larger creatures. So I had Cabanda, I had a demon behemoth, I had the sovereign. Excuse me, just dropping things. And then I had a hierarch, I think it is, which is just dreadful. I have so no data on that because you got killed.
What's the difference between a hierarch, a sovereign, and a fucking, what was the other one?
Behemoth. The Behemoth, yeah. For the sovereign and stuff, it's mostly the stats. So the sovereign, obviously the demons get +1 strength and toughness for the first two turns anyway.
Yeah.
Which makes them pretty potent. The sovereign is, I think she was 7. I say she because mine was modeled as some horrible spoiler lady. Regina, I call her. So.
Oh, good. That's
clever. Yep. So she's got strength 7, toughness 6, 7 wounds, and obviously the strength and toughness are boosted for the first two turns. You know?
Right.
Like 5 attacks, initiative 6. You know, she moves 8.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. And it has It Will Not Die and a 4-up invulnerable. So the boost to that was she can have 3 upgrades. I gave it a boost to its save, so 2-up save as well.
Yep.
I gave it psychic powers of telepathy. Sorry.
Can you you can choose any of the disciplines?
No, you can't choose any. I can't remember what's in the list, but it's telepathy, biomancy, diabolism, and something else. I can't remember what the other one is. You can't say it's more.
Biomancy are both. Biomancy is pretty powerful as well, right? So
yeah, and I did put on my list, I'll use diabolism if anyone's going to kick off about telepathy. I'm quite happy to change it.
So, no, I don't think anyone.
No, it's fine. And I gave them etheric flight, which adds +3 to your move, and means it's like an old skimmer. You can just float over terrain as long as you don't land in it.
Cool.
Or start in it.
Yeah.
Which meant that it moved 11. Oh. So on a charge, it was pretty pokey because charge bonuses as well. So.
Yeah. Sounds pretty powerful, to be fair.
Yeah. It's really, really strong. It's 350 points. And I think with all the upgrades and the weapon that I gave it, ended up being about 400 and something, 430 points. So yeah, that's, she's good HQ. And I think, to be honest, they're going to get abused. I've already had people message us for events saying they're going to want to bring 3 sovereigns for their HQs for their demon list. So, oh my God, here we go. They should be 0-1 probably, but they're not.
So are you going to allow that? Or is this something you're saying, fucking restrain yourselves, you nerds?
I have said to people, look, they're really, really strong. I don't think you should bring 3. And the person's like, okay, I'll just bring two.
No, full well, 3. They're only going to bring 2. But if they ask for 3 and they get given 2 as a compromise, then no one can kick off. Well, I was going to bring 3. Oh.
Good. The reason I tend to run a loose thing of, like, if we see a list come in that's utterly horrific and we've said to them, make sure you tone it down, and they still turn up with a horrific list, then they go on what we call fromage way, and they just end up playing pipes all day. No offense to anyone.
There's people sitting there going, hang on, I'm always playing a strong list of attrition. It's like Will and stuff like that, like, fucking hell, yeah.
Well, you try with Will, but it doesn't make any difference.
No, I mean, Will is fromage way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's where all the traitors get sent. All the dirty traitor lists get sent to Will.
100%.
Yep.
I mean, you guys were there, just as a side note. It was very funny with Will watching him in. Rob Medwell challenged him in the group chat. And then Will said, I might not be able to stick around for game two. I've got to go and get back to go to a gig with my sister. And then his sister cancelled, and he said, right, okay, well, great, now I can stay for game two. Rob, it's on. Let's have a game. And then they started playing, and Will's list was outrageous for a local narrative event. If it wasn't if it was anyone else, I'd have told him to fucking put some toys back in the box.
It would have been outrageous for a competitive event.
It certainly would have been strong. In line, you know, some if that was a 40k event, you'd thought, fucking hell, they've pulled out what's good and what's current, and you know, some hacks and some synergies and stuff. But yeah, it's a narrative event. It was very strong, and Rob is one of these players who treats the game like a puzzle. Every game like a puzzle. He was fresh off a great game with Gibson, where they really were giving each other what for, and Rob loves testing his list and testing what he knows and learning stuff about the game. So he went into it with a really, really good attitude, and the first two turns was just Rob reeling from just a horse shit mountains just slung at him over and over again. And it didn't last very long as a game.
No.
So
watching from afar, it was like 25 minutes of like bants and laughs, and then not much.
Went very quiet.
Very quiet. Yeah.
I think. Because what was hilarious is Giles wasn't at that event. He hadn't got a weekend pass because obviously he was going to Malmo, and he said, "Oh, what's Will running?" And I said, "Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when Will said I'm never running Mechanicum and Iron Hands together again, because it's genuinely maybe too strong and might legitimately have ruined Heresy for me." And everyone was like, "All right, mate, just don't run it. It's as simple as that." And then the next event, he brings it. So,
the crutch.
It's difficult because Will doesn't need a crutch at all. Will could win.
No, I know.
Whatever the weakest army in the game is, Will could win with it. It's just legitimately, as much as it sounds as contrite as anything, it's just legitimately the models he likes and the legion that he likes and stuff like that. So it's a bit of like, oh, Will. But at the same time, it's like, oh, well, it's Will. You know, at least he's not an arsehole, you know?
No, that's it. No, it's I've never been smashed by a more polite, pleasant person in my life.
No, I mean, I've only ever played him properly once, and that was the first time I met him and he basically told me on turn one, I'm going to table you. But we'll have fun. And then when he tabled me, he was like, here's how what you could have done, maybe. Here's how I would have played it. And I walked away being like, this guy's fucking legend.
What I'd love to do is sit across from Will and then say, right, let's swap sides. Beat me with my army, and then I'll learn a lot.
Well, Callum once said to him, you can take my 100 Tactical Marines word bearers list to an event and see how you do and see how you win. And Will was like, no. You're okay. I don't need to see.
He's got a rep to think about now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So that was game one. I think everyone had fun, and I hope everyone had fun. And it was an overwhelming victory for the Bellicor boys, which Will was in game one.
Despite mine and Ben's game being a draw.
Despite your game being a draw, where you were like narratively the only person who made a difference to the end result, whether they won or lost, was you.
Yeah, and then I
didn't even do that.
And then you drew. So you fucked me right up.
Most classic demons, mate. I went on my own script.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but the Carl won by quite a big margin, I think, in his game, and other people who were Bellicor. So Will was a Bellicor boy in the first game. He played Dan Kennedy. Had a really good game against Dan. Ollie was the Bellicor boy in your game, Reese. So like in that game. So I think it was quite, you know, a good. I think you were the weakest Bellicor boy now, maybe. So that was good. That was game one, and then we stopped. You know, everyone stopped at different times because there wasn't really like a hard and fast limit on it. Really, went for lunch, which was at least nice to get everyone round a pub table and have a beer.
Yeah, had a great laugh. It's good to chat. Because Dan's been to a few of our events too, but that's the first time I've actually sat and had a proper chat with him. So,
Kennedy, really?
Yeah, he was a good lad. Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah, he's one of the best, mate. Yeah, he's a really nice bloke, really sound. He comes to a lot of attrition events. That's the last time I saw him. Was it Boyfriends?
Yeah, even though he came to Boyfriends and changed his list the night before the event, and then suddenly turned up with Alpha Legion and Formentaris and his partner had fists and everything else. I was like, you naughty man.
Dan, you pipe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolute arsehole. Oh, all right. Well, I take it all back. Scumbag. I mean, he is the only person who consistently on our Discord still tries to rationale that Stone Gauntlet isn't total horseshit. But
what do you think, Reese? You're a fist player. Stone Gauntlet horseshit?
I would say it depends on your setting and what you like. Stone Gauntlet as a rule, a 4-up rerollable in Van, given them Heart of the Legion, is very strong. What makes it sort of obviously a standout to a lot of people is the reroll, because obviously like you don't get a lot of rerolls in Heresy.
No.
Well, you should. Especially not on Invans, but you know, they are a very expensive replacement for tactical squads, so I don't know whether the points quite justify it, but the problem comes when because they gain Heart of the Legion on an objective, obviously everyone stacks them they take apothecaries, bang them all on objectives, and then it's a 4-up.
Yeah. That's the
That's the problem. Yeah, I think like if you just took two squads of 10, or maybe even two squads of 15 without an apothecary, they're probably all right.
That's the thing, is that there's a fine line between what is synergy,
yeah, because
what is then abuse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and also like with, you know, I know obviously the fists get a lot of stick, and you know, a lot, as a fist player, like I think some of it probably is justified. You know what I mean? I'm not going to stand here and lie, but I think like there's some strong traitor lists, and to be honest, like with the way the sort of meta seems to go, there's some strong, just generics, like obviously Las Cannon squads. You know, we could talk all day about them.
Yeah.
But like, there's so many and like generic stuff that any legion can take that's strong and good. You know what I mean? Whether you want to build your list that way is obviously a different thing. But then you can't have it all. Do you know what I mean?
I guess so. I think that's. I mean, it's a whole other episode. I'm supposed to talk about legion balance. It's not something.
I could not agree more, Reese.
Oh fuck!
I could not this part. Agree more.
There he is.
Yeah.
What, was he in the toilet?
I've had a few beers.
Oh, bye. Shocking.
Oh, no. Right. Giles is lashed up on a plane somewhere, hiding into the Discord and then left.
I heard the Discord ding, and I just thought, it's got to be Giles, because Will wouldn't do that.
No, Will wouldn't do that. Well,
yeah.
It's the sort of thing where Will would probably like connect it to the Bluetooth, put himself on mute, and just listen while he's driving, because...
Yeah, I got
just to,
you. Yeah.
Just to hear it.
Just to get a heads up, yeah.
Giles is coming in, it's guaranteed to be a pipe. yeah, I think Legion balance plays into it. You know, if things like the Laz Cannon squads are really good, but they're really good in some legions inherently, Iron Hands, Iron Warriors, so on. And then they're really good in Blood Angels, but the Blood Angels trait doesn't give them much. So they're made better by the Legion. And it's just what becomes better in the Legion, I suppose. You know, Night Lords and Imperial Fist are often picked out for being pretty strong, you know, with the generic
choice. Yeah, I mean, Fists get the most flak, but like I say, they've got so many different options and so many... Like, they're so... How can I put it? Like,
so versatile.
Versatile, yeah, it's probably the best word to use. Yeah, like, they got the assault cannons, which, you know, they're expensive, so like when you see people with them on tanks, please know that they are paying point. They are the most expensive upgrade on any vehicle.
Yeah, properly. That's why so never like, run them.
Yeah, that's the way I can't. It makes your Sakaaran like nearly 300 points if you want to start putting them on that. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if you know him, but there was a guy at the Heresy event. We spoke about it last pod, I think, at the Heresy Hammer event a couple of weeks ago, who brought a squadron of Baal Predators for his Blood Angels. So Assault Cannon Sponsons and then a twin
Link Assault Cannon. Yeah, nice. Predator. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, that bloke has got respect. And he played Ben, Iron Warriors Ben, who Neil, you know, played in game one.
Mm.
And I was like, Ben, how did those tanks do? Tell me they did some work, because I'll go out and buy three of them immediately. And Ben was like, oh, they immediately all died. And they're like 150 points more as a squadron than a regular Predator squadron. So
yeah, yeah. That's the trouble. Yeah, it's still just a Predator at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, but a Predator you've paid 50 points extra to have worse guns.
Yeah, that's it.
Right, guys, just for the sake of our recording software, we're just going to take a quick break. And we're back. Thanks so much.
Let's go.
So, after our lovely beers in the in the pub, which was a very weirdly full pub of old people.
It was really full, yeah.
It was like going back in time.
Yeah, it was to back when like men
were proper boozer, just dudes propping up the bar and
just men who don't say a word, just leaning there.
Yeah, even like the bar staff's attitude, like you walk up to the bar and he'd be like, "I'll be with you in a sec, mate." And I just think, can't remember the last time I heard that.
No, only in Eastbourne, like, mate.
Yeah, there's absolutely no need to say it. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all. It's absolutely fine, mate. I can see you've got a bar full of people.
If you go to a bar in Brighton and you walk up to it, they just look at you and go, fuck off.
Yeah. That's Brighton now.
That's Brighton. So, after our lunch, disappointingly sized roast dinners, went back for game two, where, again, there's no such thing as. Traitor or loyalist in terms of, you know, who can play who. You can play absolutely anyone you want, just one of you has to be a Bellacore boy. So everyone sort of partnered off again. A few people had grudged. Neil, you were grudged again by
Ollie Mew.
So again, just because I know you guys won't have it to hand, but mission two was the Eye of the Storm. So this one was again Dawn of War deployment, because we're nice and casual, we don't like fancy deployments. but four objectives, two evenly spaced on the center line and one front and center in your deployment zone. And then essentially it was a modern 40k mission, so it was progressive scoring, and you got two VPs for having one objective, two VPs for having two or more objectives, and two VPs for having more objectives than your opponent, and they're cumulative, so you could score one, two, or three, or however many you score. But it maxes out at six. There were some special rules. If you killed certain units within certain deployment zones, I think most people skimmed past that because they just got caught up in the flow. I mean, if you were Rob, Medwell, and Will, you didn't even get that far.
I think it made a difference in my game, actually.
I think it made a good difference in a few games. I know Matt was really trying to get his tanks out of his deployment zone.
Because
he
was.
Just Matt's like, car parked up, then he was like, oh fuck, and then just like
he just gives away no VPs, whole army snap firing.
100%. Well, he was trying to, so we put in a rule called grounded to earth, or ground to earth, which was if you elected to stay still in your movement phase, next turn if you were killed, you didn't yield a VP through the thundercrack rule. I really liked that rule. That was you know, a bit big headed, but I thought that would be quite fun.
Yeah,
a few people tried to use it. It seems a few people, you know, got involved and made selections to actively not yield a VP.
Yeah, it was good, man. I like I said with the first game, I really enjoyed the mission. I didn't get such a look in at the mission game two, but the missions were great. Yeah.
So who did you play game two, and how did it go, Reese?
Right, so I played, believe it or not, Gibson, Mr. Chris Gibson, is also, like Ollie, probably one of my first sort of heresy friends, if you like.
Oh, yeah.
I've known him within the circuit for a long time. But. And I don't think we've ever actually, outside of a doubles game, played each other.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I singled him out, and I was like, are you playing anyone? He's like, no. I was like, right, come on then, let's go. Yeah, and it was, shall we just say, it was a bit of a whitewash.
Right.
It was.
You smashed it.
I took a mental note at the end of turn one that there wasn't much I could do to win this, but I could maybe do damage limitation. And then by the end of turn two, I was a bit like, yeah, so that's out the window.
Right.
And I think he tabled me in turn.
So was that, the tabling, that was,
yeah.
Mismatching list, was that Chris played well, or was it the mission that made him catch up?
I'd say a combination of them all.
Yeah.
So, like, on the list basis, you know, Chris always has quite strong lists, and they're very good. He has a great ability to, like, a bit like Will does, really, where, like, everything seems to complement each other. You can't get at one thing because there's something. Yeah, you can't get at one thing because something else is in the way and stuff like that.
I'm with you.
To be honest, actually, that was sort of at the end of that game, I felt more bad for Chris, really, because I felt a bit like I'd robbed him of a game. We were done in about an hour, I think.
Oh, really? Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, and I was a bit like, oh, kind of. And then I was a bit like...
He was right there. He went home early then, didn't he?
Just yeah, yeah.
To be fair, he was like, he basically was like, gave me the old, have I won anything? He didn't say it like that. He was like, you know... Am I all right to leave? And I was like, yes, mate. Yeah, he's great. See you later. Beat the track. And he was lucky because M25 was a bastard apparently on the way home. So
yeah, I heard. So he must have just missed all that. But yeah, no, that was my sort of. I said to Neil on the drive home actually that I might. I think my take on, like I was saying earlier about legions and players versus their list.
Yeah,
I might lean into the rules a little bit more.
Okay.
Because I was just getting my head around 1.0 and actually like being a not a great player, but a half decent player. Mm-hmm. And but 2.0 is basically, despite the fact that I play Fist, been pretty much back to back spankings. I've had some close games and a couple of wins, but nothing, you know, given how much I've played.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm a bit like just because like that was the first time, probably because it was Chris. I thought to myself, getting spanked though isn't enjoyable for your opponent either, is it, I suppose?
So that is a huge part of why, of how I play and feel.
Yeah.
And it's like a meme, you know, we've got Will who smashes everyone up, Giles who's probably a really balanced, good balanced player, loses less than he wins, but only just, but knows the game, makes an effort to know the game and stay in the game, plays well. And then there's me who acts all casual, like, oh, the game's just for narrative, let's just have fun, baby. But then actually, I just get fucking railed in turn one. and then the other guys paid 50 quid to come to a weekend event, and a quarter of it was spent just sweet talking me. I completely agree, man. Me and Tom Avery have had the same conversation, and with my Blood Angels, I'm really trying to learn the game. You know, at this event of Stormsong, you know, I was mostly just walking around asking people how rules were going and trying to make decisions and trying to get involved and all the rest of it, because I don't want to just keep losing by turn two all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'd say I've got a reasonably good grasp on the rules and that, but it's more like because of that, I'm reluctant to step into the realms of Imperial Fist. Like the only rule I probably actually use regularly is more my bolters hit on twos. That's probably about it, and a couple of guns on some of the tanks, obviously.
Yeah. I'm with you.
That's probably the only rule I actually lean into, and I was thinking I probably should lean into a couple more things. You know, I'm not just gonna now just write that's it. I'm banging down 60 stone gauntlet, you know, phalanx warders and 10 husk girls. Deal with that.
Yeah,
but maybe something, you know. Or, you know, something just... I've finished painting my assault squad thing. Not assault squad, sorry. My assault cannon squad. Because it wasn't until I actually reread the rules about a month ago I realised that they're actually assault. They're not heavy. So I can walk around the board with them.
Right, okay. Which makes a huge difference.
Yeah, so I figured that might actually be an all right unit to try and balance the list out a bit with a bit of Daka Daka.
Nothing. They're a heavy weapon squad, though, Reece.
Yeah.
So you can attach the Castellan to them and make them scoring?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Can't wait for that.
I mean, this is what I said about, you know, it depends on how much you want to lean into the rules. You could take three heavy squads and they'd all be scoring.
I never see Castellans.
Probably because of that. I don't know why.
I don't see them. I think there are actually less Imperial Fist players playing in our Southeast Heresy meta. I say Southeast, from the Midlands down, right? Southern meta.
Yeah.
I see a lot of Imperial Fist players, and Dan Kennedy, Ollie, yourself, there are loads out there, but you don't see Castellans all the time. I don't know why that is, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I took one, I think, my very first game of 2.0, and I played Pete, that was at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
And I had, to not be too broken, I had a heavy bolter squad and an assault cannon squad.
Lovely.
Which were obviously both scoring. And then I took some Terminators to weigh up, you know. I had the same Terminators I brought to yours on Sunday. So just because obviously being an Imperial Fist, I can just deep strike because I can. So
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because you choose to.
Because, you know, basically, if we can think of something, we can do it. So.
Yeah. All the rules.
All the rules. Any rules you want. Yeah, we got them. Somewhere, some squad's got them.
I wonder why that is. It'll be interesting to determine that, because there's quite a few Legion-specific consoles that I thought when 2.0 came out, oh my God, they'll be everywhere. And you just never see them.
Well, I was the same with them, because I thought it was just one squad, and then I don't know if it might have been you actually, Neil. Someone told me now, if you reread the rule, it's just all heavy support squads. It's just heavy squads.
What?
Yeah, so you could take three and they're all... Like, if it was 0-1, like, the squad he joins can score, a bit like a Herald.
So just having him makes heavy squads score?
Yeah, just having it. I think he has to be... No, it's not even a Warlord trait. That's just his rule.
Cool.
Does he lose that? Do they lose that if he dies?
Obviously. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Good.
So he gets sniped out. And, yeah, so bye-bye.
Yeah. So, like,
and because Heresy only scores at the end of the game because it's weird, doesn't matter. As long as the bastard dies.
Yeah.
Which he won't, because he'll be at the back in the last cannon squad. Up four flights of stairs.
Yeah. And shoot at me if you wish, yeah.
Basically, yeah. So Gibson is a great person to play games
against
and with.
Yes.
But wasn't much of a game.
No. So, yeah, coming back to it, obviously, again, I know I sort of said his list was strong. He is a great player, you know, same as you. I've watched him play many times. He's a very good player. And also,
knows his list inside out.
Yeah, because he plays Alpha Legion as well. Like, he was pretty much on everything turn one.
Yep.
I was very much like obviously stuck in my deployment zone thinking, oh, I deep strike. Then I failed all of my reserve rolls. So he actually, so saying that, he actually tabled me turn two because I had none of my reserves came in.
Right.
But he said, right, just bring them on automatically and then we'll play just with your reserves. Like, try and play the game out.
That's a gentleman's way of just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then he tabled me turn four anyway, so.
Play gentleman. Tabled twice.
Yeah, that's it. He just wanted double bragging rights. But no, like, I love Crest of Pieces, yeah. It was good fun. Painful, but good fun.
It's always good when people like Chris, because he's a solid member of the community.
And, yeah.
I don't think he realises often that he's as well-liked as he is. I think he gets inside his head a bit sometimes. And it's great that he does like these epic drives because he lives in the fuck ass middle of nowhere to drive all the way down to
Shakespeare's land.
Yeah, to come down for a one day event, you know, super appreciated, and it's good to see him. And I know he's had the best time in Malmo. I think he's already planning next year in his head. So
good stuff.
Yeah, it's good to see him. Unlike Ollie Mew, like a bad penny, always turns up. Pip you for game two, Neil.
He did, yeah. He grudged me in the chat pretty much as soon as he grudged Reese. Yeah.
Neil, so you coming? I'm having you.
Yeah. That's it. He's already done it for the next event we go to. I haven't been on that yet, but we're going to one next Saturday, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
You're with him, aren't you?
Yeah, who's your dog? Is it you? Are you Reese?
He's grudged us out straight away with you and him and us.
Oh, well, fuck me.
I think Reese might have some Castellans and the.
Oh yeah, here we go. Well, I'm really because you know the Heresy box set thing comes out on the Saturday.
Yes,
the new one. My third party retailer, who shall remain nameless, might be able to give it to me like Friday. So the hobby challenge to get a plastic Derrideo done for Saturday is strong. Okay, so see, this event, honestly, I didn't know whether I was going, now I'm going, and then someone told me the points values, and then they messaged me saying, sorry, that was wrong, it's this. I've got no clue, not for lack of them telling me, I'm just that absent-minded, but I have no clue what I'm doing, playing, how many games is ZM, how many games is Frontline.
Two Frontline, one ZM.
Are we playing you in the Frontline or ZM?
I don't know. It depends when they line up the grudge, whether it's game one or not. I'm not sure if everyone's playing ZM at the same time or whether there's a couple of ZM tables.
I think they've got two ZM tables, so they can only have a third of people playing ZM at a time.
Okay.
So everyone gets one ZM game, I think.
But well, yeah, that doesn't work out, does it?
I don't know the maths. Silas knows.
Oh, no, yeah, Silas's problem.
Yeah, it's fucking Silas's problem.
He's going to turn up with the points. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So you, yeah. Anyway, Ollie, you played Ollie.
Yes. Really grudged me, yeah. And then for me, as I had the demons, he got out his murder fists.
Oh. So this was Ollie bringing me a ringer army.
Yeah.
Because my ringer, who was Lloyd, basically forgot that it was my event. he agreed to go and see some of our mates up in Horsham for the weekend. And then I was like, dude, it's my event. And he was like, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, have fun with that, mate.
Yeah, really, I'll fuck that up. So I was like, that's fine, don't worry about it. I'll be my own ringer, it's not a problem. The Blood Angels aren't ready, so Ollie was like, I'll bring you an army. Which one do you want, Fist or World Eaters? And I was like, I don't know. He was like, I'll bring them both. So he bought both, I didn't need to use one or the other, so he said, I'm just going to use one against Reese, one against Neil. So you got the Hammerfall.
I did, Hammerfall, with its three Contemptor Dreadnoughts and the six Rapier Laser Destroyers and all the other nice stuff you had in there. So.
I'm just going to interrupt quickly to say that during my game one, he was boasting that it hadn't been defeated.
What, his Hammerfall list?
Yeah, the Hammerfall list was undefeated.
Every now and again, he messages, like we'll just be talking about something in the group chat, like chipping or something, right?
Yeah,
which would be like, just chip gently. You know, it's three or four people talking. He's like, yeah, just nice and easy. Chip this, make it natural. Underline the scratches. My Hammerfall list has never lost, by the way. It's fucking amazing. if you just do rust streaks there, yeah, make sure that looks weather beaten. You know, make sure your chips are in the right place. It's never lost. Hammerfall's fucking unreal. He's so happy with that list because it's not Stone Gauntlet. It's a very fun for him to play. Very fun list, very different list. People sort of don't expect it, but yeah, it's a bit stealth filth. I say stealth. It's many Contemptors and Rapiers. It's not too stealthy.
Yeah, the six Rapier Lasers are no joke. I tell you, when they start firing at it,
they're not.
Again, I was very glad I didn't have any vehicles. It just would have been popped straight away. So
it is funny when he's like, "Will, you're taking too many Myrmidons with six laser."
Not even just like three of it, two different guys, just six of the same.
Will, I've seen Will's face before, like look at his rapiers and then look at Ollie and be like, are you fucking joking? Like, fucking hilarious. But if there is one fatal flaw to Ollie in this game, it is that he is probably
the
only person in the room
in the mission
who did not read the mission a little bit.
He has, well,
you say that, right, but I got a bit, so we're learning the demon rules, so I got a little bit confused with the points for this mission, so I just let Ollie work it all out and just tell me how many I'd scored. So he was great at tallying up my points for me and paid no fucking attention to his own. When we got to the to whatever it was, turn four, and I'd race into the lead, he was in frantically trying to hoover up on my squad to table me, and then he was like, yeah, tabling doesn't matter, Ollie. Oh, okay. And then I even killed my sovereign with the Perils of the Warp just to make it easier for him, and it still didn't help. But he did finally kill Cabanda, which I think made him really happy.
It's funny because he's now got like a sanguineous level grudge against Cabanda.
Yeah, he really hates it. I think he sniped him with a Nemesis bolt in the end or something.
This fucking prick. Fucking.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Honestly, he hates the fact. So one of the upgrades I gave to my Behemoth was the Etheric Flight, which gives him +3 to the move and they can float.
Oh, Samus.
And he's like, yeah, and I'll use the Samus model for that. So he deployed with his squad behind this sort of line of trees and a rock where Samus couldn't get through that gap, right? But he can fucking float over it. So I just moved Samus over the top of this rock right behind his tactical squad. So, oh, where's his fucking wings? What's going on? What's this bullshit? And he's kicking off. I absolutely triggered him with that demon. It was amazing. It's the best thing I've ever done in Heresy.
It's that is the best thing about Ollie, is that he brings down these like works of art. Your demons were utterly fantastic, and you bring down these two amazing armies, and it looks like the closest game. It's definitely the loudest game that's going on. The only other comparable noise is when Woodley realized that the rule from the first mission, which was everything scores, was not in mission two. That's quite a loud noise.
Oh my god.
But yeah, it did look like that was a very fun game from an.
Oh yeah, had an absolute blast. It was really, really good. Ollie's a great person to play anyway, and yeah, he did have a strong list, which is now not undefeated.
Perfect, so, yeah. Perfect. Which
hype that? Thank you very much.
Excellent. Yeah, 1-0 with the demons. Lovely.
Is it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, unbeaten the demons so far.
And it did mean that, you know, Will, who was a Bellicor boy in game one, he elected to be a Bellicor boy in game two. It was a pretty strong showing from Bellicor's forces. It was always our intention, or my intention as sort of the person who has had this narrative in their head for a few years, that I wanted Bellicor to be the antagonist going forward in Call to Arms events series as is. That was before he then randomly appeared in Ending the Death as being on Terra, which is slightly annoying, but
but he's in the warp, and it takes him 2 minutes to get there, doesn't exactly. It? It's all doable, mate. It's all
you
doable.
You did it first, Tom. You did it first, so they can get in the bin.
Correct. Yeah. Dan Abnett doesn't know what he's talking about.
So yeah, suck it off, Dan. Go away.
So I think so. Obviously, we're doing Scar and Barbaros next year, but any event after that where it's set directly in the Heresy, we'll have Bellicor as an antagonist, and we'll run the same format of, it doesn't matter whether you're a Blood Angel or fucking Alpha Legion or Raven Guard or Iron War, it doesn't matter, you're either part of Bellicor's forces or not.
Are you going to write me some rules for him then?
From Bellicor?
Well, that's who my sovereign's going to be.
Is that your Bellicor?
I've wanted an excuse to buy that model since the beginning, since they released it. I love that model. I like the old one, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, the old one's great. I love it. Yeah. Still in fantasy when you see it. Stuff. Yeah, if you do new Bellicor, I'll write him a Warlord trait or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be banging,
for
yeah.
The event series, yeah, that'd be sick. And then he'll die turn one.
Yeah, obviously, because I've got him, so I'll roll. 100%. What did I roll? I had to roll five two ups. I rolled three ones or four ones or something.
I remember when Pete Dunn ran this event called Jungles of Akkar. Did you guys go to that a few years ago?
No, I never made it to that. It looks sick though. Yeah, I saw all the pictures.
A sick event, but Pete really hyped up this beast of Akkar that he'd had like 3D printed back in the day. And he painted it, and it was gonna be fucking mega, and it was like the honey monster. It was just gonna turn up and fucking rape you, and it could be like on any board, and it would just turn up and mulch you, and it was like an NPC, and both armies would have to jump on it, and blah blah blah, blah. And then it turned up game one, turn one, died to bolt of fire. Everyone was like, good, great, thanks.
Yeah, cheers, thanks, Pete.
Whole point of the event, lovely. Yeah, I'll write you a Warlord trait for Bellicor. That'd be sick. We did say we were going to have like a unifying rule for Bellicor's faction going forward, like a small rule that would contribute to, because then it needs to be small enough that a player on the day can be told, you're a Bellicor boy, here's a small rule, really small, yeah. Something like that. But yeah, actual Bellicor will be six with a little Warlord trait. If you're listening to this and you have any suggestions of a Bellicor Warlord trait, DM me, and then I might tell people it was your idea. So at the end of the event, after everyone had helped packed away, which was greatly appreciated, all the guys who were there did a sterling effort of getting all the tables and terrain packed away. It was a mammoth of a job to get that all set up the night before in the fucking middle of the night. So it was really helpful that everyone helped put that away. So a genuine thank you to everyone who helped do that. Wasn't Neil and Ollie, because they were too busy playing.
Still too busy playing. Last game going, yeah.
A little narrative wrap-up at the end, in my typical sort of fairly casual style. How did you guys find the little narrative, you know, two-minute sort of things at the beginning, middle, and end of the day?
Yeah, I liked it.
They're not to be too much, but I know they're not everyone's cup of tea. Some people, like, you know, go really into it and stuff, but...
No, like, I know Will's mentioned things like, you know, the presentations and the videos and stuff, and all that stuff's nice if you can do it. But sometimes I sit there thinking, okay, you've done a great job here, but I just want a little bit of narrative to get me going, and off I go.
Yeah, I
don't necessarily want to sit there watching a video for 10 minutes.
And everyone's different. You know, sometimes, you know, I remember when I first went to Pete Dunne's first event, Quarter Seven, and he showed us like this 4-minute video. That was like Command and Conquer. I was like, I am in. I'm fully invested. And then. You know, go to another event and you're just like, you're the bad guys, you're the good guys, and you're like, I'm in, I'm fully invested. You know, it's just about when you're having a good day or not, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of what we do. We tend to put it in the pack. Yeah. We just, you know, we put in the missions, put in the pack, and then let people, no, I hate using this term, but like forge their own one, right? Go off and do your own. Here's the framework, here's the information, yeah. Here's the missions, this is what it's happening for.
Well, I wrote quite a lot of fluff in the side red margins of the missions that I then printed out for everyone. Then I put a C on it.
Yeah.
So no one had a paper copy. So that was all a waste of time. So at the end of the event, we had only two prizes to give out. We had favorite opponent and favorite army. We used the Heresy Hammer metric, shamelessly stolen off of, rather than best painted, because it always just ends up being the obvious people who win it all the time. Tried to be the army that you would most want to take home, or the army that you thought was the best painted or converted or whatever it happened to be. And it was, I think, barring one, I think it was unanimously Neil's Demons that won.
Barring one? Wow.
I think... So,
was that Ollie, because he was still salty?
No, Ben from Heresy on the Hill, when he heard the story of the fact, when we first went to Heresy Hammer and it was the army you'd most like to take home, Harry voted for my Iron Hands because he thought it'd be funny if I actually lost my Iron Hands. So Ben utilized the same logic and said it would be funny to just take Will's army off him. So he voted for Will, so that Will would not have the crutch of Myrmidons. But I think everyone else voted for you.
Wow, and I didn't realize it was that unanimous. Yes. Thank you, everyone that voted for me. That's amazing.
Well, they are very nice. They're very atmospheric. They're very horror filmy. But they're a nice variety of models. That's something you don't often get in Heresy, because everyone's a Marine, is that you don't get the differing silhouettes. And that's what makes games like Age of Sigmar really a modeler's and painter's dream, compared to some games like 40K, where everything's sort of, if you buy an army, everything's sort of the same. You get the infantry that are all sort of roughly the same size, then the vehicles that are all sort of roughly the same size. But in Demons, you've got big fucking things like Cabanda, all the way down to little dogs. You know, so
it's the big plus for 3D printing as well, because some of those other weird things put in there. All adds to it. I've got loads more on the plate as well, so
perfect.
Bring it on.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing more.
Reese actually said to me that you, when you were asking for people's votes, that he wasn't going to vote for me, and you said, well, you can vote for whoever you want, but it won't make a difference now. And he went, no. Oh, I'll just vote for Neil then.
Yeah. Grudgingly. I think when I put them out, everyone was doing armies on display, and then, armies on parade, and then someone said, is this just armies on display? Because for Instagram phase, because we all know Neil's won. And I was like, yeah, basically, yeah. It's always good when there was, apart from you, who'd made the Herculean painting effort to be done for that event, which was appreciated by me as the EO, there wasn't like five or six other people who were all, I really think I can get best painted, and they're up at 1 o'clock in the morning painting. You know, that would have been a shame.
So I normally assume that Ollie's going to win. His armies are beautiful.
The thing with Ollie is that Ollie, like, without being mean to anyone, and certainly not to Ollie, Ollie doesn't need any more painting awards.
Must be a heavy shelf.
Yeah, the top, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but his top shelf in his room is just trophies. Like packed with little trophies and acrylic trophies painted and stuff. And to him, he's just like, thank you for voting for me, but it's just someone else could have got this and gotten the acknowledgement, you know, the nod from the community or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he's happy when he sees other people win. You know, same as Rob. Like, they get so many. I think they're happy when they see other people win, which is good.
Yeah. I got a feeling Ollie is he almost actively hates it, doesn't he? When he wins now, I think he's sort of like, for fuck's sake.
Well, at my first event that I ran in 2017, I think it was, where I met Ollie, and Ollie turned up and he won best painted, and he was like, oh, thanks very much. And the store that sponsored our event gave him a copy of Silver Tower, which was brand new out that week, Warhammer Quest Silver Tower. That's how long ago it was, right? Gosh, Silver Tower. And Ollie just literally stood up and went, I fucking don't want this. Alright? I'm never gonna paint it. I'm not interested in it. Who came second? And second was Cy Davis.
And he like Cy.
And he was like, fucking give it to him. So he gave it to, and then a few years later we were at a doubles event in London, which Jack Boland ran, and there was an award for killing the most tactical Marines throughout the event, and him and Zach were really going for it because they thought it'd be funny. And then right at the end, the prize they got were toy swords with a little plaque on them that said, you know, killed the most gun pigs or whatever.
Yeah.
And they went up to get the awards, and then they were given these swords thinking they were getting tankards because everyone else was getting these fucking sick tankards, like engraved ones. And they got these wooden swords, and Ollie just went, I don't fucking want it, and give it back to him. And I ended up taking them and taking the plaque off.
Nice.
Yeah, they're still in my garage. My kids still attack each other with them every now and again. So, you know, Ollie's just not...
Yeah, he's a very generous man. Didn't you get an army bag off of him as well?
Yeah, mate? I was going to bring that up, actually. Yeah, he won an award. Yeah, one of our earlier events, we gave out a Best Army Award was a KR bag with the first two cases and the foam and everything else inside it. Ollie won it, and he says to me after, he's like, I don't want this, I don't need it. So I have it back. No, it's your prize. Goes, no, I don't want it. So I'll give you a tenner for it. He goes, done. So I just bought it off him for a tenner.
Wow. Hell,
amazing.
That is who he is, do you know what I mean? Like,
he's top bloke, yeah.
He is top bloke. He would more appreciate, he says it to us in our group chat, if he posts a painted model, like with his new project at the moment, he doesn't want you to be like, Ollie, this is amazing and fantastic. He wants you to say, that shin pad is shit, the weapon is crap, you can do better. That he appreciates that more, genuinely. If you all just say it's fantastic, he feels like it's just sort of glossed over. But if you give him actual constructive feedback and say, you can do that bit better, he appreciates that so much more. So
I call him in the middle. He posts a picture up and I just tell him it's shit and he's start again.
Yeah, fucking right. 100%.
Let's crap Ollie, start again.
And that's the thing, like at this event, he brought both his World Eaters and his Fist, and I've been saying for years and years and years that I think his World Eaters are the best army in Heresy that go to events, you know, that like Matt Cain's Custos and things like that, like exemplary armies that made it to a few events, but an army that has gone to events for years and years and years, I think his World Eaters is the best event army, but I think his Fists are better now.
There's a good few years between them, to be fair, isn't
correct? Yeah, there's a massive uptick in skill and technique in the two of them. Neil, what do you think? Obviously, you've got a good eye for painting, so.
Yeah, they are very nice. They always stand out, don't they? It doesn't matter what event you're at, his always stand out because they're all so well painted. And there's just the little attention to detail on things he does and everything. Oh. The callback to the Rogue Trader Fists he's done with the grey recently.
Yeah.
Really, really nice. The way he approaches his Blood Spire and stuff in the World is always not too much. It's really easy just to overdo that and make it look mental.
Well,
his always really, really good.
It goes to show, you know, that one of the weekender, you know, fan weekenders at Greetings last year when they were doing, when Henry was voting for best in show of just anything, there were whole armies displayed there. People had bought Warlord Titans, people had brought display boards and everything. But Ollie's Test Marine for his white and red,
For the Balab one.
It was a World Eater. Delvaris's squad that are like the border marine, the breaching marines that stay on the Conqueror.
That was nuts.
He had one marine that was white and red painted with the Khorne Berserker helmet sort of thing, and that won best in show. It just shows you how good he is. Anyway, he didn't fucking win. Fuck him.
No, he didn't. He didn't win his game. He didn't win best of
all. What a scrub. What are we going on about him? What a scrub. But probably the most important prize at any Heresy event for me is best opponent.
100%. Yeah.
Which I think is really a good indication. You know, I've won a couple of these over the years, and they always mean sort of a lot to me, that people think, the people that I've played think that I was a good game. So it's always important to, I think, to register that. But one of the sort of cliches I find at event is when people say, oh, nearly everyone got a best sports award or whatever. I think at this event, my event, near enough everyone did get a best opponent award. And if not, they were like, oh, I'm voting for this person, but this other person was fucking great as well. You know, I've had two
games
or whatever. So I gave it to Carl Helicar, who is an old mate of mine. So it's a complete fucking stitch up. But he's an old mate of mine. He used to live in Eastbourne. He's moved away. He's been into Warhammer for donkey's years, but he's only really got into Heresy in the last few years. He hasn't really hit the scene in terms of events yet, but I think he's gone to a couple this year. He's looking to go to more this year, more next year. but he's playing quite a strong word bearers list, which is good to see. But both of his opponents said that he was a, you know, really fun bloke to play, really funny, good rules knowledge, and I just thought it's that sort of attitude that deserves to win at the end of the day. So he walked away with the prize, which was great.
I think that's the first time I met him. I think he was at one of Chris Gibson's events, but there was so many people there. I didn't speak to him, but he came over to have a little chat about the demons, a bit of good natter about painting for a while. He seemed like a top bloke, so I'm assuming it's well deserved.
He is a really nice bloke, and he's trying to up his painting all the time. He's good mates with Jack Eldridge, so they play quite a lot, you know, in London, not at events, you know, around each other
in their little community. Yeah.
So they play quite a lot. So you know that if someone can tolerate Jack for an extended period of time, then they're probably a decent bloke. So
or deaf or something.
Or deaf, yeah, something like that. And that rounded out the day, guys. So
what a day it was.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Any feedback, anything you want to shout out and inflate my ego, anything you want to puncture it with, anything?
Don't spill tea on your printouts.
Don't spill tea on the printouts.
Yeah, that'd have been handy. I'm very pleased you went to go and get milk and sugar for me for my tea addiction. That was much appreciated.
Yeah.
Be honest.
I really liked it.
I'm really trying to think of something to poke a hole in, but I really can't.
Well, I'm hoping that when we ran events before COVID, we ran one maybe once a year or every so often, it became known as the event that wasn't really an event. It was just people who were all in a big extended circle of friends as an event community just coming down and playing some casual Heresy that no one gave a shit about.
Yeah, it was very casual.
And I like that because that's how I play, right? So that sort of reflects me. So I'm hoping that Tooth and Claw, even though it's, you know, it's run with the efficiency of Andy at Greetings and sort of the prestige of that, and Giles and Will will be there making sure that everyone plays correctly, it will still be, you know, a little bit of me being casual, trying not to let people sweat too much about it. And then Scour and Barbarous next year, tickets are available, guys, if you're interested. It will be same sort of thing, you know, the start times and finish times will be a bit tighter so that everyone can sort of plan their day a bit better, which was a genuine bit of feedback I got, which is good. But when you're playing your game, just relax, have fun for 2 or 3 hours and just enjoy the game. You've put tons of hours painting and collecting an army for, you know?
And if you're sat on the fence, don't sit on the fence, go, because it was good fun and we recommend it.
And you're coming.
We do.
And we're coming, yeah, exactly. So you get a chance to play my demons and, unless Ollie grudges me again, who knows?
Ollie's probably not. All 4 fucking games. we've already had the grudges come in from a few people, which is always fun to see. So you know that everyone's mates and everyone's having a good time when people are like, right, game one I want to play this cunt, game two I want to play this cunt, or whatever. Like, it's going to be easy, it'll run itself. Right, guys, I think I've taken up enough of your Sunday evening and my throat is starting to go dry from lack of tea. So I'm going to call it a day there, guys. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I really super appreciate it.
No worries, man. Thanks for the invite.
Thank you for having us.
Will was very anxious that I'd replace him with one of you two.
Stepping him off is Will, you're fucking fired.
Well, I've got Jack coming on this week to record, because I think the boys are still going to be travelling back and or shattered or knackered. So Jack is coming on to record, and I think the boys have to put in a good performance there, I think. Right, thanks very much, boys. We'll say goodnight. If there's anything else you need to say or shout out now, any events that you've still got tickets left you want to shout out for, you, or are you all sold out?
No, we've got reserve lists.
Don't even need to shout out. That's so good. Right, enjoy the rest of the evening, guys. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Cheers, mate.